Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. And we're back again here in the studio. And with me, as usual, is my co-host, Dr. Les Olala, who serves as the chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College. Doc, I have a question for you this morning. We were talking about the gospel and really about the power of the gospel. I was thinking about the Apostle Peter. I just got done doing a series on 2 Peter, and I've just been so impacted by this man's passion for the gospel. And I wonder if you could maybe just make some comments about that in terms of why you feel this was such a powerful force in his life, and maybe what was the gospel to Peter?
I think one of the great revelations of Peter's heart is found in Acts chapter 3. We find right after he preached Pentecost, and of course you know the old Peter as we saw him before Pentecost.
Right.
We marvel to see that this same man was powerfully used of God.
And that's a great encouragement to all of us, by the way, I would think, that God could take him and use him, transform him. And there's hope for Peter, there's hope for us.
And you just see the end of chapter 2, where God was adding daily to the church such as should be saved. They just had 3,000 saved and baptized, and the people were praising God. There was fear of God among all people. And then we find Peter and John going up into the temple, as was their custom to go during that hour of prayer. And there was a lame man carried by his mother, and there he was at the temple. He said, "Give me alms." And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." So Peter is saying, you know, "Sorry, I have nothing to give you." And someone has aptly said, no longer can the church say, "Silver and gold have we none." And then someone said, "Neither can we say, rise up and walk."
Wow.
That's a thought.
That's a powerful thought.
As we add on to this.
So we've exchanged our power for the things that make us comfortable.
Yeah, and we don't realize it even. But, you know, we wonder, where is that power? But then Peter continues on here, and we saw this man healed. People marveled. And look in verse 12 of Acts chapter 3, "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or look ye so earnestly on us, as though we by our own holiness made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, whom ye delivered up, denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go." Now here's where we find Peter's heart really beginning to comprehend what the gospel was. And he turns the guns now on those people
who are questioning.
They marveled at the power.
Right.
And Peter quickly turned, said, "Don't look at me. This isn't what I have done." He says, "The one who did this is the very one you denied." You see him kind of turning the corner here in verse 14, "But ye denied the Holy One and the Just One, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses."
Boy, that's powerful words there, isn't it?
That's a powerful thought.
What
an
indictment.
And we look at some things as you talked about Peter. How did he have an understanding of the gospel? Well, you see from Peter's thought here, the first understanding he had was an understanding of the character of Christ. These people marveled that Peter supposedly had done this healing. Well, God empowered him to do that, and this was still in that era when the confirmation of Old Testament prophecies were being fulfilled. He had just finished the passage from Joel. This is that.
Right. So you're saying that these kinds of miracles on demand, as it were, really aren't something we should look for in the church today.
Well, we have a closed canon of Scripture that confirms that. Now, God can heal.
Absolutely.
And you and I have been involved in services of praying for healing of people.
Yeah, we're not denying the miraculous ability of God to work in miraculous ways even today. But the kind of sign things that we're talking about here, if I understand you correctly, is what is no longer present.
Right.
And but the power is still there.
The power is there. But what Peter is talking about now is what's eternal, what really matters.
Right.
And that's what we see throughout the church. You don't see any physical promises to the church. The physical promises in the Bible were to Israel. All of the promises to the church were
that's
eternal.
Good. That's good.
And so you don't see physical promises.
Like land and buildings.
Right, exactly. Or even healing, necessarily. But again, God is able to do as he wants to do. But he said, first of all, he denied the Holy One and the just. First of all, he focused on the character of Christ. That's the first thing I want to note in the text.
So in other words, for somebody to really understand the gospel, they have to intimately understand who Jesus Christ was. They have to know what his character was.
Absolutely, because if he were not God, then we have no hope, because then the Bible would be untruth. Emmanuel would mean nothing. God with us would mean nothing. The prophecies of Isaiah 7:14 would mean nothing. The prophecies of Isaiah 9:6 would mean nothing. But we see these all fulfilled. We see that character of Christ. But note, first, he was the Holy One. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that mean? He was holy in his relationship to the Father, which made him the only one possible to pay the price to satisfy the wrath of the Father. And that is what propitiation is.
You know, that's interesting that you phrase it that way, because I've heard a lot of people say, and I think that a lot of people actually believe this, that the price actually had to be paid to Satan. In other words, when Jesus died, he was dying to pay Satan off so that he could ransom us. And you're saying that actually that price went to the Father.
Well, when he cried, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me," what was in that cup?
Mm-hmm.
That cup was filled with the sins of mankind from the time when the federal head, Adam, crashed the human race into sin till the last sin that is committed. And every horrendous sin you can think of was in that cup. He knew that was coming. But because he would drink of that cup, he also knew that the wrath of God the Father had to be poured on him. That was coming on us.
And I think that's why your point is so crucial, that we understand the character of Christ in all of this as a holy person. Because if the sin debt was to God and not to Satan, then the only person that could satisfy that sin debt was somebody who didn't owe one to start with.
Exactly, because otherwise he himself would have to be paying the penalty for his own sin.
That's right.
And as the sinless one, he was the infinite one. He, in a finite amount of time, paid finite man's penalty, which would have taken finite man an infinity to pay.
Hmm.
Christ, the eternal one, in a moment of time, satisfied the wrath of God the Father. And that propitiation work that was done, in other words, he took the hit for us, but he could not have done it if he were not holy.
Yeah, I like the way you say that. He took the hit for us, because that's exactly how Paul puts it in Romans. The wrath of God is being poured out on all manner of ungodliness.
That's right. And that's a hallelujah when we think
sure
he did it for us. Even as one of the ladies in your church, when she came to realize that lady had come to visit, and who had been struggling, hanging on to religion. And finally, she said, it's him. And that is the truth. But he is the Holy One. And plenty of scripture would testify to that. Then it says he is the just one. Now, that turns the thing. He is not only holy in relationship to the Father, he is just in his relationship to man. No man on earth could point a finger at him and say, "You're a sinner," and prove it. There were a lot of accusations made, but no proof was ever made of it. In fact, when Judas took his payment of 30 pieces of silver, what did he do? He went to the potter's field, cast the 30 pieces down, and what did he cry? "I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood." He knew himself. This was a sinless man. Pilate's wife told Pilate, "I have dreamed. Have nothing to do with this just man.
So just really is in reference to his relationship to others. In other words, it's his horizontal righteousness.
Right. Vertically, God was satisfied. But horizontally, no man could make an accusation and say, "This is really what is true."
I mean, it's interesting when they tried him, when the Sanhedrin tried him, they had to bribe those guys to lie against him.
Exactly. And you would see, because there was no proof.
Right.
Even what did Pilate say? "I find no fault in him." And if anybody could have come up with any proof, they would have been heralding that, but he was just and he was holy.
So when you contrast this with what happens next, I mean, when you see the character of Christ as holy and just, I mean, how in the world did he end up on a cross?
Well, you see the next part of that text where he said, "Ye denied the holy and the just and desired." See, first they denied, now they desired. That's the picture of the world today. "They desired a murderer to be granted unto you," he said.
No. I mean, it's really clear there. I mean, they had this beautiful picture of a holy and a just, sinless person. And Luke says here, you desired something other than that.
They said, release unto us Barabbas. Barabbas was a convicted criminal. And it was at that time of the year when a criminal would be released.
Mm-hmm. That was the Jewish ritual at that time.
It was the Jewish ritual. And rather than the sinless one, against whom they had no proof, they took the one and said, release unto us Barabbas, who had already been convicted. He was already a convicted criminal. Mm-hmm. There we see the choice of the crowd. We saw the character of Christ first. Now we see the choice of the crowd. Mm. And the choice of the crowd was very reflective of the choice that the crowd is making today. Why did they hate Christ? John chapter 15 says, if they hated me, they will hate you.
Right.
And they hate me, and they will hate you because you are not of them. Even though you are in the world, you are not of the world.
And we're not like them. We don't have the same mindset. We have the same destiny.
When we see court decisions being made, we go back to the 60s when court decisions were made putting Christ out of public life. They were saying, release unto us Barabbas. Mm-hmm. We are not comfortable with sinlessness. We are comfortable with a person who is like us. Mm-hmm. And you'll find leaders today are chosen by some people because these leaders make them feel more comfortable about their own particular lifestyles.
Well, the choices that are going on right now, even as we do this broadcast, reflect what you're saying. You know, choices to take death over life when we have the power to grant life in certain
yes.
cases. Boy, you couldn't have painted a better picture. Well, Doc, we have to take a moment here to talk to our listeners and but we want to take time to thank you. So many of you have been writing and calling and emailing us. We're thankful for your support and the outpouring of your love for us and assurance that you're praying for us. Please continue to contact us. We are thankful that you are listening and want these broadcasts to be a blessing to you. You can contact us at the address at the end of the program. We also have a new website at Brookside Baptist Church that we would love for you to visit, www.brooksidebaptist.org. And also check out the website where Dr. Olala is the chancellor at www.nbbc.edu. And I know there'll be a number of helpful resources there. Our monthly offer to those of you who support us, we are continuing to offer a copy of Dr. Olala's book entitled A Man Among Them, The Life Story of Dr. Les Olala. Doc, why don't you take us off the air today with just a final thought on the uniqueness of the gospel.
As you would be in your home early in the morning or driving on your way to work, consider your choices today. Is it Christ or Barabbas? Am I satisfying my lifestyle or am I saying I want God to control my life today? But make sure, first of all, we have accepted that substitute. We have accepted Christ as Savior. He paid the penalty for us.